All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John. We're in the 16th chapter. The Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. And so kind of let me kind of guide you through what we're doing here, okay? So, a while back, we decided to go through the Gospel of John. And going through a Gospel, you can approach it many different ways. Our approach in going through the Gospel is we want to meet Jesus. We want to get to know him better. I'm reading a book right now where the author is saying that if you took everything that you know about Jesus, it would be like the tip of an iceberg. You understand, when you think about an iceberg, it's sitting in the water, you see what's visible. There's a whole lot more that is not seen beneath the surface of the water. And so if you think about all that you know about Jesus, what you've been taught through the years in Sunday school and church, what you've read on your own, what you've read in the Bible, to be honest with you, that is hardly anything. You know, I look at myself. So I became a believer in 1985. Freshman engineering student in April of 1985, gave my heart to Jesus. I still hardly know him. And I know a lot, but I hardly know him. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been going through this gospel, getting to know him. And as we've been working our way through him, we're being introduced to this awesome figure, Jesus. But we're also being introduced to ourselves and how people react to him. So here we are. We're in this third section of John, chapter 14 through 17, where he's leaving. We know he's going to leave because right after this, he's going to be taken and crucified, raised from the dead, goes to be with the Father. And he wants to prepare his disciples for what's ahead. He wants to help them know how to function in this world without him. So that's very relevant to you and I, right? He wants you and I, as they were supposed to know, how do you function in a world without Jesus? And so he takes a major portion of the gospel, which is about 25% of the gospel, to communicate some powerful truths that are very relevant. So one of the things he keeps emphasizing in this section is that we need to love each other. So that means we've got to be there for each other. The other thing he keeps telling us, he's going to tell us again in this passage, is that people aren't going to like you because you know me. And then he's going to tell you about, I'm sending you a helper. And that's what we're going to focus on today, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing, okay, because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, that really is a topic that makes a lot of people uncomfortable, okay? Uncomfortable to the point that sometimes we don't even talk about it in our churches. In some churches, they talk about it a lot. And the emphasis is that there's a lot of misinformation out there, but I'll be honest with you, like when you take a section that we're going to look at today, Jesus tells you a lot that you may not be aware of. The Holy Spirit is not just an experience. I know some folks like to focus on that. There's a whole lot more there going on with the Holy Spirit than an experience. I've never had an experience, but I know I've seen his work in my life and seen his guidance in my life, and I've seen him do the things that Jesus is going to talk about here. He's relevant. He's necessary. He's working right now in our congregation as we are meeting here this morning. What do you mean? As you sing, as we pray, as you listen, you hear the Spirit speaking to you, pointing out things to you, directing you. What is all that? That's the work of the Spirit. We're going to see it here in a moment. And this is what he's wanting you to understand. You've got to get to know the one who replaced Jesus while he's away. Because that's what he said. I'm sending you another parakletos, another advocate, another helper, another comforter, another counselor, whatever word you want to choose. He's sending someone else who's going to come alongside of you. And it's all for our preparation. And that's what he's going to focus on here, especially when we look at these verses. We're going to look at verses 1 to 15 of chapter 16. So hopefully we're going to see what he's doing, why he's doing it. We're going to see the preparation that he's doing in our lives, in their lives, and in our lives. And then we're going to see what our advantage is. See, it's to your advantage. In fact, he even says that. It's to your advantage that he's gone away. Why? The Holy Spirit. So look with me. Here's what John writes. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they did not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to, again, I've already mentioned it, we're going to take this and divide it into two sections. We're going to talk about our preparation. He is preparing them, he's preparing us for understanding how life is right now. Because listen to this. This is the thing that bothers me. Everybody recognizes our culture is changing. In fact, the cultural change is changing quicker than we like. Some of that has to do with technology. Some of that has to do with other things. Because social change didn't take place that quickly, it does now in our age. And that just bothers people. And I hear sometimes, I read the publications, I listen to Christian radio and so forth, I hear people getting so freaked out about what's happening. It's almost like God's not on the throne. Why is this happening? They're like totally unprepared. But Jesus is saying, hey, I'm telling you, before it happens, this is going to happen. He was preparing us for this. And so let's remind ourselves, when did he say this? 2,000 years ago. So don't be shocked. So we're going to talk about his preparation. And then we're going to talk about you and I have an advantage, which we ignore. And sometimes we ignore it because we don't know about the advantage. He's telling us, you and I have an advantage for life right now. So let's look at it together. So first of all, look with me, our preparation. Here's what he says. Verse 1, I think it's a very important statement that he says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. So here's what he's saying. Jesus wants us to be aware so that we will not stumble. So remember I told you that right now people are looking at everything and they're like all freaked out. They're like, oh, this is the end of Christianity. I am sick of people saying this is the end of Christianity. Folks, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock that he was speaking of wasn't Peter, it was himself. Christianity will continue to exist, period. You know that. I know that. How do I know that? We got a book called Revelation. You know who wins in the end, right? Put your faith there. Quit listening to mumbo jumbo. And that's what it is. Listen to me. He's telling you this so that you don't stumble. What does that word stumble here? Does that mean fall into sin? Well, yeah, it could mean that. It means getting freaked out, being thrown for a loop, because all of a sudden things aren't the way you want them to be. And let's be honest, I'm old enough now that I realize life ain't the same. We don't do the same thing. You know, 1976 was a great year when I was 10 years old. But have you noticed we still don't do the same things that we did when we were 10 years old, right? We have colored TVs now. I remember having a black and white. You know what I'm saying? Life moves on. So don't get freaked out. He wants us to be aware so that we're not made to stumble. So what is he saying here? He's going to explain to you what's going on right now, okay? What's going on? It's been going on since Jesus left. It continues to go on. It will go on to the time when Jesus will come back. Here's what it is. Number two. Look with me at verse 2 and 4. Here's what he says. They will put you out of the synagogues. So he's writing to Jewish readers. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told them of you. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. Here's what he says. Because of ignorance, the world thinks that rejecting you is the right thing. What ignorance? They don't know God. And they don't know Jesus. Do you understand? By not knowing God and Jesus, they think that it's actually a good thing to what? Reject you. Reject your faith. And here's, do you understand? Jesus knows from the beginning the reason why they do it is because they don't get it. And they can't get it. Why? Because when you come to faith, you get a new what? A new mind. A new understanding. People who don't know Jesus don't have an understanding. So guess what? They're naturally not going to accept what you're saying. So, you know what, I've listened to the news. You know, I told you I'm a news junkie.